Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Mitch Halleck, and I'm live from the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, right here in Raynham, Massachusetts, with the one, the only, John Cimino.
Hey everybody, Mitch is here.
I know, live. Physically here, and I've just been perusing the booth, and I'm just, literally, I'm going to put some pictures up on the Facebook page. If you're listening to this, please visit it. It's the Power Cosmic Facebook page, but there are some pieces of memorabilia up here that if you don't own, you know you want to own. I'm looking at a Batman jigsaw puzzle. I'm looking at a Batman and Robin pennant over there. We got model kits. We've got comic books, of course. We've got toys. I mean, right up there, is that the Mego Wayne Foundation set, John? Was that an exclusive?
Yep. Box, too, Mitch. Box.
When did that come out? 1976? 77?
Yeah, I think maybe that one came out, between 77 and 79.
Yeah, not, is it complete, though, John? Everything's inside.
Complete.
And right next to it is what I remember, the vinyl case Batcave from the Mego collection. It has the little appropriate, we're going to be talking about Batman. You go over there.
It came in two sizes, too, Mitch, and the bigger one is actually the more rare. The smaller one is more common, and that's the bigger one.
All right, and I'm going to describe it for you. It's based loosely on the 1966 classic Batman TV show, where you can have the Batmobile pop out of the cave, which is kind of cool. And then inside there's a Bat computer. And I think are the Bat poles in there, too, on that one, too? Supposed to slide down?
It's all there, Mitch. All there.
Yeah, it is something. Then I see over there the Joker Mobile, which I had as a kid, that has a squirting flower. It looks like a VW micro bus. It's green. And on the box art, we have the Joker on top squirting something out. And we have the Riddler driving the car. It's from 1975. And then John also has some great stuff there. He has the Great Galoob, which is a famous toy from the 60s. You've heard it if you listen to Howard Stern. He talks about the Great Galoob and how this was the toy he always wanted. It is like a robot toy. It looks like if the Preacher of the Black Lagoon had sex with maybe the Hulk or something. It's a big green toy. I'm also looking at John's display case here. I see the $6 Million Man. I see Maskatron, who I had over there as a kid. Maskatron had these pieces in his chest and his arms that you could take out. And the good thing about Maskatron was he was a couple action figures in one, because you could swap out his face. He could be a fake Steve Austin.
And
he
was scary, too.
And he was scary, and he could also be Oscar Goldman, I think. So it was three toys in one.
And there's a limited one that has actually a monkey face that you can put him in.
I did not know there was a monkey face. I remember getting that Christmas 1976, maybe, from the Sears catalog. The Sears catalog was like crack. It would show up at that house around September, and my cousin would call and say, go to the mail, the Sears catalog's here, and we would get the wish list, it was called. And you'd go through that catalog's toy section, and you would literally circle every single toy that was in there. And now I see all those toys right in front of me here at the Raynham Flea Market.
And you said something interesting. This is not your normal flea market booth. It's not somebody selling stuff out of a...
I gotta admit, when I did pull up here, I thought I had a flashback to the early 70s in New Haven, Connecticut, because there were some people with their trunks open, selling everything from A-Tracks to bow. I saw a kid walk by me with a bow and arrow. Shrunken heads. And I'm thinking to myself, if I ever wanted to get the greatest hits of Kenny Rogers, I know where to go.
Teeth.
This
barnacles.
Some people were selling teeth. Some were selling barnacles out there, too. I think I saw some sarsaparilla. So, yeah.
Bone anchors.
Boat anchors. You get it all here. We're standing across from somebody who's fixing watches, and there's vacuum repair there, and I believe the man next to that is selling snakes and some type of...
I think there's also an orphanage here, too. You can buy kids.
When I was a kid, you used to go to a store called King's Department Store around Easter, and they would have a table full of little chickens real live chickens, and you could pay a dollar. And I don't know why, but if you wanted to buy a chicken or a baby duck, you could buy them at King's Department Store. And I would buy them with my grandmother because I don't know why she was nuts enough to let me do it. And we would come home, and my mother would be so upset because I would say, oh, look, Grandma bought me a box of chickens. And my mother would be like, what the hell are we going to do with some chickens? And here's what happens. They don't stay baby chicks forever. They start to grow. So next thing you know, here we are, and we had a bunch of big chickens running around the backyard. We had a rooster that would crow every single morning, and it doesn't sound like the cartoons. It's not cock-a-doodle-doo. It was more like, and that's how we used to wake up, because we had a rooster. Unfortunately, living near more of the urban area, we weren't designed to be a farm, and I think all the chickens got eaten one night by a dog. No, I was telling how I had chickens as a kid. We'd go to King's Department Store at Easter, and for a dollar, you could get a live chicken or a live duck, and I bought a bunch one day and came home with them, and my mom was so upset. We kept them in a box, and we had four chickens, and we named them Lucy, Desi, Fred, and Ethel, and then, you know, it was just a very bizarre way to grow up, and I'm having flashbacks to all that as I walk around John's booth here at the Random Flea Market. But anyway, this is a somber weekend because, of course, we are talking now on Sunday. Just yesterday, the news broke that Mr. Adam West, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman, has passed away, and it's very unfortunate because he was the headlining guest at this year's Terrific-Con at the Mohegan Sun in August. We were going to have him and Burt Ward, who was Robin, be there for 3 days. They were going to sign autographs. And
Their final signing, too,
because when I did the deal, they said this is his last appearance. I don't know if that was foreshadowing of what was happening. I don't believe that they knew he was ill or he knew he was ill because we did see him in March in Massachusetts, and he filmed a video for us, and he seemed a lot frailer than I had remembered. I met him in 2015. But I had no idea that he was suffering from leukemia, and they said, unfortunately, he passed away in his sleep about that. So, but why we're here looking at comic books and toys, that's what I told John we should talk about today. And our first memories of Batman, the TV show. Now, I could tell it more because I'm older than John, but John, did
you... January 12th, 1966.
No, I know. I wasn't born until July 10th, 1966.
But no, but that was the debut.
Oh, I know that's when I was there, but... Did you watch that program, John?
Obviously, I watched the reruns, and those things were in syndication everywhere. And yes, I did. And I didn't take... A lot of people took offense to it, but I thought it was awesome. And when I watch it now, it's awesome. And let's be honest. William Dojo, he was on a plane reading a stack of Batman comics. And if you look at those 50 Batmans, those Batmans from the 1950s, they're exactly the same as the series.
The episodes there, too. I remember as a kid first discovering it when it was on Channel 11, which was WPIX in New York. And it was kind of funny because Superman reruns were on. That were the black and white ones with George Reeves. But Batman was much better because Batman was in color. And a lot of these things were, you know, everything was black and white. I used to sit over at my grandma's house and watch I Love Lucy, the Andy Griffith Show, all these reruns. But I never, ever saw something in color. And the Batman show was in color. And the fact that they wore the costumes and it was more like a comic book was just something there. So little Mitchie would go to Catholic school, get out around 2:30, wait for his mom to pick him up in New Haven, and then race home to sit in front of that TV at 4 o'clock eating my box of Frankenberry cereal out of the box there. That's how I became Biggie Mitchie as a small age. But I would sit there in front of that TV set and every day at 4 o'clock, and Batman and Robin would come on TV, and you would have to wait till the next day to see what happened because they had the cliffhanger episodes. But it was even worse was Friday when you had to wait over the weekend to see what happened to him. And if you missed it, that was it. There was no VCRs, there was no CD players, no internet, nothing. You just had to wait till your friends told you what happened. And the best time I ever remember watching the Batman TV show is when they met the Green Hornet, because that was like, oh my God, there's more than one superhero, and that made the whole dream of the Justice League. And even though the Green Hornet and Kato were pretty lame as characters, I mean, that show, they get turned into giant stamps, whatever, by Professor, I can't think of his name, Colonel something. It was just dumb. A lot of the show, looking back, was dumb. But when you were a kid and you watched Robin about to get eaten by a giant clam, or Batman and Robin were sent flying through the air through a catapult, you thought that stuff was real. And you were like, oh my God, how are they going to get out of it? And then the announcer would come on, is this the end of the dynamic duo? Will the Caped Crusaders get crushed? That was William Dozier?
Yeah, that's his voice. Yeah, that's William Dozier.
The announcer was William Dozier?
Yeah, that was him.
I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think what happened was the guy who was supposed to do it, I don't know if they hired, I could be a little wrong here, but he did it because waiting for the person who was supposed to do it, but they liked it so much, so he became...
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I know the very first episode he met, John's working here while we're talking about this, so if you got
to say this really quickly about
Adam Weiss.
But when he met the Green Hornet and stuff. See, I watched it a little after Mitchie, and what happened was there was a... I was into the Kung Fu movies, too.
Yeah,
so I was huge into Bruce Lee. And seeing Bruce Lee, I was a big Kato guy because, oh, my God, you got to see Bruce Lee versus Batman and Robin. That was huge.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that is we can talk about Kato in a second, but the Batman and Robin TV show, like I said, was just unbelievable because this was a revolution going on. Because also we had the Super Friends, which was on as a kid, and I used to watch that. And there'd be reruns on Channel 5 of the old 60s cartoons of Superman, Superboy, and what else was on that show? I think they even had Aquaman, Aqualad. I got distracted for a minute there because there is a man with a live snake in his hand about 20 feet away from me, and I'm not a big fan of the snakes.
Americana.
It's a piece of America. It's a piece of something. As long as he gets the snake back in the cage, we're okay. Yeah, there he goes. He's playing with the snake. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, talking about the Batman TV show. Not only was it a great show, but there was so much merchandise. And as I'm standing here in John's booth, I'm looking at a Batman and Robin, he tells me, are the Aurora display model. Now, Aurora was a company that made models back in the day. You'd have to go get some airplane glue, and you'd have to put them together. And then the worst thing is you had to paint them because they all came in one solid color. But I had all these as a kid. I remember going to the Five and Dime store. It was called Tops. And they had all the superhero model kits. And my mom bought me all of them. And my dad would sit there. And I have vivid memories of my dad being mad about it. And he was trying to put together the Superboy model, the Superman model, the Hulk model, all of them. Because there was no big collection of superhero toys back in the day. I mean, I had Crazy Foam and some other stuff, but these things were great. And John has the actual displays that they put on the store shelves at the toy department so kids could see it and go, ooh, I want to make that. So if you get a chance, again, go to the Facebook page and check out the things of Batman and Robin here. Someone's just talking about Terrificon. So anyway, we were just talking about it. Yeah, the Terrificon, the one at the Mohegan Sun, that's one I run. That's the one you want to go to. They don't call it a Terrific Comic-Con because it sounds nice. It's because it's true. Connecticut's number one Comic-Con. I was just talking about those nice model kits you had and how I had that as a kid there, too. But going back to Batman and Robin, it didn't last more than 2 years. It was from 66 to 68. It was on twice a week. It was on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And they started the cliffhanger episode. In fact, when the ratings started to dip, they actually brought on Batgirl, hoping that would rejuvenate things, too. The lovely Yvonne DiCarlo, or DeCraig. The other one was on the Munsters. I always do that. She played Lily Munster. That's Yvonne DeCraig.
The Batman series was like, remember the Batusi? I mean, there was dances, and Batman was so big.
Well,
and
the merchandise was crazy.
Crazy. And then... Done. It just got too cliche.
No, what happened, I think, they said, was it the moon landing or something? Something turned the tide of the country. They didn't want to watch Batman anymore. They got tired of it. They got burned out by the Batman. And it was very fast. I mean, it was like everywhere. It was a fad. There was a lot of fads in the 60s, and that was one of them. So it was up there with James Bond was really big for a while.
Yeah.
Batman was real big.
But at Batman's peak, there wasn't really much that was bigger than that at that time.
Oh, and it changed the comic books, too, because before that, he was a goofy hero because of the Comics Code Authority. They had to change the Batman character.
And the sales were dying on Batman.
He almost got canceled, if I heard. Yeah.
So close to being canceled, but that brought it back.
The TV show did, right? And John actually has a copy of the issue here somewhere where they show Batman and Robin sitting down at the TV watching it. Was that on the cover? Yeah, yeah. I remember that one, too.
That kind of reminded me of that Marvel 2-in-1 46, I think, versus the Hulk, because the Thing was pissed off.
Because he's watching the Hulk TV show.
And the Hulk had a show, and he was like, Hulk.
And then he goes to Hollywood and wants to know why there's no Thing show.
You're right. No, yeah, fantastic.
All right. But, again, it was cool. Now, did Batgirl come out because of the TV show, John, or was she in the comics beforehand?
Excuse me?
Batgirl, was that brought on because of the character on the TV show, or they brought her on because of popularity in the comics? What was first?
No, it was to boost up ratings to get a girl Batman.
No, but what about her in the comics? Because you have the first appearance of Batgirl here.
Right here. I've already sold two of them. I had three, and I sold two of them yesterday. $3.59, first Batgirl. I mean, that comic is hot as a mofo.
No, but I'm saying, was this because of the TV show character or what? Because that's the costume she
wears
on TV. You
know what? That's a good question. You know?
I know.
What year is this, then?
This is 19... Yeah, I think because Batgirl came in 67, correct?
Right. We're going to open it up and see. I mean, I know there was a Batwoman character for years, and there was another Batgirl character back in the 50s, but not the one that's like here now. We're going to open it up, and what is the cover date?
1967.
The new Batgirl. Okay, so there was a Batgirl character prior, but this is the new Batgirl. And you know what's odd? I have an issue at home. I just got a Catwoman wearing a green dress, and they go, here comes Batgirl, and she comes running in. Is that the first appearance of Batgirl? Because I think it's just like the whole Hulk 180-181 thing. I know she's on the cover there, but I have a story that I'm saying with Catwoman on it, and Batgirl's in it.
So is it Batgirl or Batwoman?
No, it's Batgirl.
Yeah, but I don't think it's this Batgirl. It's not the legit Batgirl.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just saying.
And Matt and Mitch, let me just say, what's above? What do we see above there?
Go-Go Checks.
Yeah, Jerry Ordway should be very happy about
Go-Go Checks, please. We don't want to talk about Go-Go. We should do a whole episode once about Go-Go Checks.
And we have to have Ordway on it.
Well, that's their equivalent to Marvel's pop art, if you see that in some of the covers. But what are the other things? People are looking for Deadpool trade paperbacks here. Let's see, as we're trying to make a living here and talk about comic books at the same time. But I remember, I'm going to talk about meeting. When I was a kid, my grandmother took me to the New Haven Arena, and it was like, I believe, a circus or a horse show. And one of the highlights was Batman and Robin would be there. And I must have been 4 or 5 years old. I have no idea. But all I remember was there was an arena, and there was guys riding on horses, and there was tigers and such. And out of the ceiling dropped, on ropes, two guys dressed as Batman and Robin. And when you're a kid, you think that's the same Batman and Robin on TV. So it could have been Adam West or it could have been Joe Schmo. But to me, that was the real Batman and Robin. And then years later, I was in Norwalk, Connecticut, and my friend was inspired by the Jon Favreau movie called Swingers. And he wanted to make a movie about all of us reading comic books, but he called it Losers. But we're really winners. That was the subtitle. It was all about these guys who just really do basically what John and I do every day. We talk about comic books, we talk about movies, and we really had no social life. And everybody was calling us losers, but then when you find out one of the guys was a cop, one of the guys was a doctor, and we were all helping society in our own way. I have them right here. Hold on 1 second. Oh, $27 and $30. The sign's right there.
And there's no parking.
No, it's free parking. There you go.
Americana.
All right, Americana. So, anyway, like I was saying, we met the real Adam West. He was going to be at the Norwalk Maritime Center, and they had an exhibit about bats. So my friend says, we have to go meet Adam West. So we went down there with a video camera, and we got in line. And as we were walking into the building, this man came by, and he was so upset because the sign said, meet Adam West. Please note, Mr. West will not be appearing in costume. And this guy is so angry. He's coming up the stairs. He had one leg, and he's on crutches, and we're helping him up. And we said, sir, are you okay? He goes, what a ripoff. They want you to pay $5 to see Batman, and he's not even in the uniform. And I'm thinking to myself, uniform? Like, he's a postman? I mean, what is this? He's an actor. But this man expected Adam West in 1997, 20 years after the show, to be standing there dressed as Batman. I'm like, give him some credit. So we go in, and we get in line, and we go up to Mr. West, and we say, we would like you to film a scene from our movie where we talk to you and meet you. And as we walk away, when he says, you guys are a bunch of winners. And we go, thanks, Mr. West. And after we walk away, he looks right into the camera and says, what a bunch of losers. And that was the scene. So as we walked up to him, we gave him the script. We told him what to say. He was all into it. And then he goes, wait, boys, stop. Is this for a porno movie? And we're like, no, sir, it's not for a porno movie. Because that's happened to me before. I got roped into doing a porn movie. I go, wait, Adam West is in a nudie flick? He goes, they came, they asked me to read some dialogue. I did it, I filmed it, they paid me money, and then they took my scenes and cut it up and put it into a softcore porn movie, and they didn't tell me that. So next thing I know, my agent calls and says, Adam, why are you in porno movies? He goes, I don't know, was my career that bad? And he goes, but do I look good? So he wanted to be sure. And the whole problem is the guy that was filming it, the audio is perfect, but he filmed this against a window, so we were backlit. So you just see us in silhouettes. It's very, very bad. I suppose if I get the film footage now, we probably could digitally enhance it and fix it, but it was very disappointing. So that night, we go out to the restaurant, and Adam West is at the restaurant nearby. So we go up to the hostess, and we go, oh, my God, there's Adam West. And he said, she says, who's that? We go, oh, it's Batman. And she says, what do you mean, Batman? We said, there's Batman. She goes, who, Michael Keaton? We said, no, not Michael Keaton. She goes, you mean Val Kilmer? We're like, no, the real Batman. And then she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. We said, the real Batman's here. She goes, that old guy? We go, that's no old guy. That's Adam West. And so we go over to his table, and he goes, oh, if it isn't my friends, the losers. I go, hello, Mr. West. He goes, gentlemen, please join me. So we sat at Adam West's table to have dinner with him. Oh, wow. And he was flirting with the waitresses and like, hello, young lady. Tell me, good citizen, what do you think of the Batman? And she's like, what are you talking about? Because she thought he was some crazy old guy. So he's sitting, he goes, you want to call the Riddler up? And we're like, what are you talking about? He goes, Frank Gorshin lives next door in Westport, Connecticut. And we're like, what? He goes, somebody give me a phone. So he called them up, and he goes, Frank. Hello, Frank. It's Adam. Yes, I'm right here in, where are we? We're like, Norwalk, Connecticut. And you hear Frank Gorshin on the phone. You go, oh, my God, that's the Riddler. He goes, why don't you come on down? Oh, and he's laughing. And you hear Frank Gorshin start to laugh on the phone. You go, oh, my God, the Riddler's laughing, talking to Batman. And we're like, we'll go pick him up, Mr. West. He goes, no, he's not feeling well right now. That's okay, boys. So he took my friend's camera, and he started taking pictures of all the waitresses with him. And my buddy goes, hey, hey, that's my camera, man. That's not like a digital camera with the film. And he goes, oh, why don't you just be quiet? And then he took all these pictures. He used all my friend's film up. And my friend goes, hey, man, I have no more film left. He goes, so what? You're just a loser. And so we went downstairs. I called my wife up. I go, Adam West is here, and we're having dinner with him. And my friend goes, and he just used all my film up, the son of a bitch. And he's all mad at him. I go, you can't be mad at Batman. He goes, oh, yes, I am. He goes upstairs. He goes over to the waitress. He goes, what's the most expensive bottle of wine you have here? She goes, oh, we have such and such. It's about $90. He goes, send that to Mr. West's table, please. Oh, okay. So she goes in the back. She gets the wine bottle out. My friend goes, perfect. Goes over. Pops the cork, pours a glass for Adam West. He waves. He goes, thanks, guys. This is great. And my friend goes, let's get out of here. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, screw him. He called me a loser, and he used my film up. I go, but you just ordered him a bottle of wine. He goes, he's got the money. And he walked out. And I go, oh, we just stiffed the Batman. He goes, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God. And as we're going, he's waving to his guys. Hey, guys, have a good night. He thought that my buddy had paid for that bottle of wine until he got the bill. That was 1997. 2010, I'm at Wizard Philly. I had to go meet Adam West for something. I go backstage. I'm talking to him. He tells me about living in Idaho. And I said, well, you and I met before. He goes, where? I said, Norwalk, Connecticut. You called Frank Gorshin up. He stops and goes, wait a minute. Are you one of those losers that stiffed me with that bill that night for the bottle of wine? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, you owe me $90. And I said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. West. I don't have the money on me. He goes, let me just tell you. That was not something a good citizen would do to the Batman. And I go, it wasn't me. It was my friend who became a lawyer. He goes, your friend is a lawyer, and he didn't give me the money? Oh, I don't know what kind of lawyer that is. So that's my Batman story. And then after that, I met him once again at New York Comic Con. I interviewed him for a podcast, and he was there plugging the 50th anniversary of the Batman DVDs coming out. And it was so cool because what he said to me was, he often was talked about the Dark Knight, about how Batman was this grim character, the vigilante, the avenging angel of crime at night. But he said that's not the Batman he looked at. He always looked at it as a big Boy Scout leader, you know, somebody who was always positive and, you know, reaffirming and wanted to set a good role model to people. He did not like the idea of Batman being some vicious thug coming in the night and just beating the heck out of people. And he says, I'm not the Dark Knight. My Batman is crazy, but in a fun, insane kind of way. And deep down, he's really the Bright Knight. And that's what the world really needs. In fact, he went on about it and saying he thinks that eventually people will get tired of these violent TV shows and watching people get run over by, you know, trucks and cars and all that stuff. And they'll turn around and they'll want to see something that'll make them happy and feel good about themselves. And that's why he enjoyed his his portrayal of Batman, because he said that's what he thinks people got when they watched his show. They walked away from their cares and their troubles for a while, and then they got to sit down with their family and enjoy something that was fun for the family, for the moms and dads, because it was written with some very good satirical comedy. And for the little kids, it was a fantastic adventure watching the Caped Crusader fight the villains of Gotham City. So, again, that's why when it came time to produce this year's 2017 Terrific Comic-Con at Mohegan Sun, I said, let's get the man of the hour. Let's get Adam West. So I contacted his manager. He was all set to come. Burt Ward was going to be there. We billed it as the very final appearance of Batman and Robin in Connecticut, because that's what they said. They're not going to do this anymore. He was 88, and he was looking forward to a nice long retirement. I met him in March in Massachusetts. We drove up for a comic convention, and he was there. He filmed a couple videos for us. It took about 7 takes, because he kept forgetting the lines, and he kept making up his own dialogue. And then when he finally got it right, I looked at him. I said, okay, could you do it again without any pants on? And he could not stop laughing about that one, because he thought he was making another dirty movie. And he goes, I will, but it's going to be a horror movie. So when I found out yesterday, it was John Cimino who called me up after I was just dropping off a pile of flyers. And he says, oh, I got bad news for you. Adam West has passed away. And I was stunned. And I went home, and just like you folks out there, I've been watching the news. And I am just still trying to, come to grips with it. But one of the things we had planned for the show this year, we were going to show the 1966 Batman movie, and we were going to have Burt Ward and Lee Merriweather and Adam West on stage beforehand to do a Q&A to talk about what it was like making the film. So the plan is right now, we're still going to do this, obviously minus Mr. West, but it's not a Q&A session anymore. It's more of a tribute from his co-workers on what it was like to work with Adam West. So if you're listening to this and you were planning on coming to Terrificon to meet Adam West, still come to the show, because it's going to be part of a 3-day celebration. We were already going to celebrate the 100th birthday of Jack Kirby, but now we're also going to celebrate the brilliance of the career of Mr. Adam West. Everything from his time when he worked with the Three Stooges in a movie, to when he was on The Family Guy, to you name it, of course, as Batman. So if you want to come down to the show, please do it. August 18th to the 20th. We're planning on having a 3-day celebration of comics, movies, and more, and particularly our friend, Mr. Adam West, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. the Bright Knight, Batman. And that's all I have to say about it. I'm looking at some of the memorabilia here in John's booth as people are buying a pile of Batman stuff in front of me right now. He is more popular than ever. I was glad to see that he lived to watch the 50th anniversary and see all the love from everybody. And his portrayal literally set the standard for them all. In fact, Ben Affleck came out today, and his quote was, thank you, Mr. West, for showing us how to really do it. And even Val Kilmer came out and said Adam West was fantastic. So you can't ask for anything more than that, and have a new generation of Batman tipping the hat to our friend Adam West. So that's it this week. That's my remembrance of Adam West. Hope you enjoy this week's show. We're going to sit back and recollect and reconsider all the new things that we could talk about. I looked at some of the stuff in John's booth. We could do an episode every week on just some of the toys that were right here at the Random Flea Market today. I'm staring at the Superpowers Collection Hall of Justice, headquarters for the battle of good versus evil. Still in the box from Kenner. It's even got the sticker on it. When it said clearance, $9.90. It's going to cost you a lot more than that right now. But it is just fantastic to see all these toys here and comic books. So again, so please come to the show and you'll enjoy it. Again, this has been Mitch Halleck for the Power Cosmic Podcast. And how do we end every episode, John? How do we end it?
And that's that.
And that's that. Good night, Batman.
A production of Big Fedora Marketing LLC, the folks that bring you the Terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.